Psalm 150. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Somebody say that with me. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him. You know what? I'm doing too much preaching here. I think you ought to help me out. Every time I get to praise him, I think that ought to be your line, and I'll say the rest of it. How about that? Let's start over. We're going to start with praise the Lord, and every time it says praise God or praise him, that's your part. I'm going to say the rest, okay? Let's start with praise the Lord in his sanctuary and in his mighty firmament and for his mighty acts and according to his excellent greatness and with the sound of the harp and turn the... There you go. Praise him. Well, you picked up on that part. And the timbrel and the dance and with the stringed instruments and the flutes and with the loud cymbals and with the clashing cymbals, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Say it with me. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he tells us in the next verse, God wants a song. God wants worship. God wants real praise. He doesn't want us to just, come and enjoy music. That's not why we're singing. You can enjoy it, but even if you don't enjoy it, he's still there. He's still on the throne. You can love it, but even if you don't love it, don't judge it if it's his song. Because we are all made in his image, and there's a lot of multifaceted ways of the Lord. He likes it all. And then he says in verse 5, Psalm 100, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now, it's this last verse that sets up the understanding of the courts, because the question is, if the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, how can I get to his mercy? I don't know if you've ever been to court, but if you have, if you're headed to court, you always want favor in the courtroom, right? We call that the mercy of the court. We want the court to rule in your favor. So what we know is if we can get to mercy, we're there. If I can just get to mercy, if I can thank God for his love, thank him for his grace. Grace means that I do get what I don't deserve. But see, mercy doesn't mean that. Mercy means I don't get what I do deserve. Let me say that again. Grace means I do get, God's about to give me something that I do not deserve. I didn't earn it. I can't afford it. God's given me a gift. I can't, an unmerited favor of the Lord. God has given me something I can't deserve. That is grace. But when he gets mercy, he says, I'm pardoning you. I'm cleansing all transgressions. I'm wiping away every ordinance against you. Mercy means he has cleared my docket. Mercy means he has given me favor, and he has cleared me from, I don't owe anything. He has settled all my debts. So the goal is, God, how can I worship my way into mercy? I want to get to the mercy seat. So let's go back to the tabernacle, and I want to show you this again. When we get to the tabernacle, I want to go to the one with the three stations, and there we go. That's the one I'm looking for. So I want you to see this. There's the outer court, there's the inner court, and then there's the Holy of Holies. And each one of those courts, whether you realize it or not, are courts that you do walk into. You may not understand that, but hopefully tonight you will hear that. So the three courts of the Lord are the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Now the outer court is where the people go. So the outer court is the only place where the people are, not that one yet. The outer court is the only place where the people are allowed to go. So we're in that large section. There's a brazen altar and there is a laver in the outer court. Somebody say, with the people. That's what the outer court is. So the outer court is what we call corporate worship. That's when everybody shows up and everybody starts singing, and from one end of the building to the other, everyone is worshiping. Now, let me just tell you something about corporate worship, and I hope you know me by now. I'm not much of a fusser, so I'm not fussing. I'm just declaring what is true, all right? So this is not me getting on to you, but if God gets on to you, that's another thing. There's a lot of people who are singing, but they're not worshiping. there's a difference in coming into that outer court because it's very public. And there's a difference in moving your mouth. And not only that, this is where it gets real. There's a lot of other things going on during worship that shouldn't be going on in worship. If this is the point where we're approaching the king, why are people walking in and out all the time? If this is the point where we're approaching the king, why are people pulling people off in the corners and talking to them? That's not how you enter his presence. You don't pull somebody off to the side and have a conversation during the worship if you're trying to get into his presence. That's not the time to check your Facebook and your social media and your text message. That's not the time to spend half the time mouthing the words and the rest of the time texting everybody that you need to text. No, that's not the time. See, you're not even there. You're just singing. You're not worshiping. You might be saying the words, but it takes a commitment to say, I want to go into the very presence of the Lord. That it's a sacred moment. And here's the thing. There are plenty of times and places in the body of Christ to be social. Don't use sacred places for social places. There are plenty of other places to be social. We have lobbies, we have Connect Central, we have cafes, we have talking after church, we have parking lots, we have life groups. But when you're here in his presence, the focus must be on him, not somebody texting you and not somebody you're moving in and out and talking and patting them on the back. No, that's not what worship looks like. If that's how you're worshiping, you're not worshiping, you're only singing. And God did not say that you could go. Here's the reason that some people can't go any deeper. If that is what worship means to them, then that's as far as they'll ever get, that first court, which is a public place. Now notice this. In this place, you have the brazen altar and you have the laver, which is a place for cleansing. And it's a place for laying down things and sacrificing things. So there has to be. Does anybody remember the old song we used to sing? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of... We probably need to bring that one back one day. That's a good old song. And when we'd sing that song, it would remind me that sometimes praise is a joy and sometimes praise is a sacrifice. I don't know who wrote that song, but when they started singing that, it got in my gut. And I thought, man, when I come into God's presence, I'm here to worship him. I mean, no one has to talk me into it. I don't need a cheerleader. I worship if the band is good or bad, and it's always good here, but I worship wherever I'm at. I mean, I go to churches sometimes, and it feels like I'm the only one expressing myself in worship. And I've been on stages many times where all these dignitaries are there, and there's thousands of people out there, and I just feel like getting on my knees, and my spirit gets checked. It's like, because that's kind of how I, when I get in his presence, I just move to my knees a lot. I don't know why, but I do. And so I've had to check my spirit and say, can I do that here? And yes, I do it there. I get down, if I'm the only one and I'm not doing it to bring attention to myself, I'm not doing it to stand out in a crowd, and I'm not trying to be disparaging on those who are not worshiping, but I'm not here to impress them. I'm not here to fit in with them. I'm not here so they will like me better. I'm here because I need to get all the way into mercy. And if I can't get past the first gate, how am I ever going to get to mercy if I can't make it past the public gate? See, the hardest gate to get through is that public one. You can't get to personal worship till you get the public one out of your system. Quit worrying about what everybody thinks. Quit worrying about how it looks. Don't give me the line, it's not in my tradition. Then make a new tradition. Nail yourself to the cross and take up your cross and follow him. And say, my granddaddy didn't do it and my grandpappy didn't do it before him. But bless God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if I'm the first one in my family to lift up holy hands, then let it be so. But I will not sit here another day and be judged by man. I didn't come to be popular. I came to get mercy, and I need to go into his presence to get mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you get inside the gate with thanksgiving. It's a condition of the heart. And I think you're there. I think all of you, because you come out on a Tuesday night and you fill up this building and you worship God with all your heart. And some of you last week, my goodness, you stayed for an extra hour or an hour and a half maybe in the altars after the service was over. So I know you have the right heart. I get that. But you have to understand that you come into his gates with a conditioning of the heart called thanksgiving. God, I'm so grateful. I'm so good. I don't know about you, but I'm just so glad to be in the house. I mean, I could be anywhere. Some of us tonight look around you. You don't know their real testimony. There are people sitting by you tonight that could have been in prison or maybe used to be in prison. You don't know that. But for the goodness of God in their life, here they are. There are people that were on drugs, but they're clean tonight and they're in the presence of God. There are people who have gone through brokenness after brokenness and bad relationship after bad relationship, but look at them tonight. God is with them and God is for them and God is healing them. Yes, you are sitting in a room full of broken people, but you're also sitting in a room full of grateful people who are just glad to be here. No, if they don't ever save me another seat and put my name on another chair, if they don't ever save me another parking space for the rest of my life, I'm just glad to be in the house. If I have to sit in the back, I'm just glad to be in his presence. If I never get to say anything, I'm just glad to be in his presence. I could be in jail. I could be in the graveyard. I could be in the rehab center. I could be under the foot of man. I could be running for my life. I could be strung out on drugs under a bridge tonight. But here I am in the presence of God, and I'm just so glad to be in his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the first court is where you get over the expectation of people. It's the public place. And we have to move past that mentally and physically. I know we worship a little strong around here because we let people come to the front, and some churches don't do that at all. And we let people come to the front, and some of them get a little wild. That's why we want them up here, because we don't want them hitting anybody back there. I mean, you get an alabaster box person trying to break that alabaster box in the middle of some chairs, and they got people around them. Somebody's going to get an elbow every now and then, you know. It's like, so, no, we'd rather just get up here in the river and just let it all go, you know. And that's why, you know, I have to, when I go to churches, I try to either sit on the end row or the front row, because if I get boxed in, I can't make any promises. If he shows up, I mean, I'm a big dude, man. I'm 200 pounds, 6'2". If the Lord shows up and I've done it before. I've raised my arm and slapped somebody's glasses off before. I didn't even mean to do it. But I'm so in love with him. I know better than to box myself in, because I might hurt somebody. I get that's a little wild, and I get everybody is not like me. You don't have to worship like me. You don't have to dance like me. All I'm saying is worship like him. All I'm saying is give him your best. Give him excellence. It doesn't have to fit my box or anybody else's box in the room, but just don't give him nothing. Just don't give him a scowl. Just don't sit there in the presence of a king and say, bless me if you can, or sing my favorite song so I can give you a little Presbyterian praise. No, and I'm not picking on the Presbyterians. I love the Presbyterians, but they're not actually known for their exuberant worship. And so I'm, if you bless me, Lord, if you bless me, Lord, I'm going to bless you back. I'm going to glorify you and worship you. So you have to get over the public court.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
We had a stranded motorist ministry, and their ministry was they would travel the interstates on a Friday night and Saturday night, and they would look for broken down cars, people that ran out of gas or cars on the side of the interstate. So they would drive around every Friday and Saturday night till midnight. And if they found a car on the side of the interstate, they would pull over behind the car and say, listen, we're the Stranded Motorist Ministry from Twin Rivers, and we're here to help you. And they'd get out and fix their car, fix their tires. But the thing about it that they weren't expecting is they had two guys fixing your car, and the other guy was preaching the whole time. So they say, listen, we'll fix your car, but you gotta let me share the gospel with you while we do it. Is that okay? We got gas here. We can fill it up, but you got to let me share the gospel. And they're stranded, man. They're not going anywhere. So they always say yes. It's like, all right. It was the strangest ministry in the world, but it was effective. And I can't tell you the cards I got from people who were ministered to by the Stranded Motors Ministry. And I realize it's not for everybody. So one Sunday morning at Twin Rivers, we show up, and there's these two guys, and they have their hat on backwards, which that don't bother me. I wear my hat on backwards sometimes. So they had their hat on backwards, and the next thing I know, our church was a worshiping church like we are here, you know. So we were always got our groove on, our dance on. We had people that hopped and jumped and all that stuff. Well, when they saw that, this one guy named Billy came out and got in the middle of the floor and started breakdancing. He was spinning on his back just like that. Now, I had 42 elders, and because they prayed in the altars, they liked to sit on the front row. And I saw one of those, you know, those Fred Sanford moves going on. It's like, it's going to get me this time, Ethel, you know, whatever he used to say. I can't remember. He's a funny guy. But I saw some of my elders grabbing their heart like, what are you going to do about this? This guy's breakdancing in the church. And he was really good. So, I mean, the choir was watching him, the praise team, the musician, everybody in the church was watching this guy. It was really, really good. And so I just go down and I said, hey, Derek, I said, or Billy, hey, Billy, I want to know your story, man. So I just took my mic down there and I said, can you tell me your story? I said, you got a great dance here. If I did that, I'd break something, but you can do it really good. He said, yeah, he said, I'm here with my friend, and I can't speak the way he did. He had finger motions and yo-yos and all kinds of stuff that he would say, and I don't speak yo-yo that well, so I'm just not even going to try it, or I'll make a yo-yo out of myself if I do. But he said, yeah, you know, Billy back there, he's my spinner. Well, the only spinner I'd ever heard of was one of these, you know, that you catch fish with. I didn't know what he was even talking about. Come to find out, it had something to do with a record player, but I didn't know that. And so he said, yeah, yo, yo, man, there's my man Billy. He said, bring him up. So I may have these two guys up here, and they're tatted up, and they got their hats on backwards, and they're dressed so cool, and they're pumped, man. They're happy. And I said, so tell me your story. They said, well, you know, man, I work at the club. He's my spinner, and I'm a rapper at the club. And he said, we were going home last night, and we were a little drunk, you know, and he said, and our car broke down. Next thing I know, these three dudes show up, and they want to fix our car, but they said we had to hear the gospel. And I said, oh, I know who they were. And so he said, and then they made me promise that for fixing the car, I'd come to church. So I'm just here to pay my debt, man. That's all I'm here for. I'm just here to pay my debt. He said, they fixed my car, so they told me the address. So we're here because we want to be honest. And I said, do you know, I said, so tell me about your dance. He said, well, when I saw everybody dancing, I don't know anything about church, but when I saw everybody dancing, I just wanted to dance. So he said, this is the only dance I have. And I said, well, do you know why they're dancing? He said, no, man, I have no idea. I said, because Jesus is living in their heart, and they've been freed from all their sins. Would you like to be freed from your sins? And both these guys, Derek and Billy, oh, yeah, man, I'd love to be freed from all my sins. I mean, I think they had a list, too. And they said, I'd love to be freed from all my sins. And so I led them to the Lord right there in front of everybody. In the microphone, they prayed the sinner's prayer. They gave their heart to the Lord. I said, how many of you would like to see these guys dance some more? I said, take it away, guys. And they started singing it. Now I've got those elders up there who are judging. Now they're giving me one of these, you know. give me some of that old shout stuff, you know. They're getting the shout and the Holy Ghost shout on because now they're loving it. And you know what? I heard it before I left that day. I heard somebody back there saying, some little church biddy saying, well, that won't last long. I'm going to tell you something. It not only lasted long. One of those boys went into the ministry and married a Christian girl. They went into the ministry. had a great ministry, and both of those boys stayed in that church for years until they moved on with their life. It was a radical turnaround in their life. So listen, it don't have to be my style and my praise, but when you praise, just don't be silent. If you're silent, the rocks will cry out. Don't let the rocks do your praising. You need to praise God for yourself. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in his house. Hallelujah. Get over the public. If you're going to be a worshiper, get over the public. That's the first court. When you go to the next court, notice what is there. In the next court, you have three pieces of furniture. And let's bring that up again. There we go. There's kind of an inner picture of it. So you have the table of shewbread there on the right. You have the altar of incense, and you have the menorah. Now, let me explain these to you, because we now understand what these were symbolic of. The table of shewbread, Jesus comes along and identifies as the word of God. He said it is the bread of life. So we know that is symbolic of the word of God that would come. We also know that the menorah is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I could just take a menorah and preach a whole sermon on just the menorah. Maybe I'll do that for you sometime. That just breaks it down and shows you how that menorah really is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in our life. From the oil to the wick to the gold to even to the way it's made. It is made out of almond blossoms and almond buds, and it shows sections. Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that because that's a whole sermon there. And so that's representing the Holy Spirit. And then you have the altar of incense, which represents prayer. Then all of that comes together. See that little censer laying there on the ground? All that comes together, and that's what the high priest has to use to get under the veil, because that's what we call worship. So get this, if you want to go into the deeper level, we're going to move from public worship to personal worship. Now, the only way the people could do personal worship is it had to be ministry led. So I'm going to brag on this praise team a little bit for a while, because it had to be ministry led. They were not allowed in the inner court. The priests would go in and bring out a blessing. They would wait. They would bring their lamb. And they would wait on the priest to come out and pronounce them clean. And they would take ashes home with them from that lamb and some of the meat. And that's how they were blessed. And then when the priest would go into the inner circle, they would come out smelling like smoke. They would come out smelling like the aroma of the incense. And so the only blessing they could get from the inner court was the blessing of the priest. So that's where he would come out of the inner court, and then he would spread his hands like the shin, and I can't hardly do with a microphone in my hand, and then he would say, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And he would bless the people as he comes out of the inner circle. When you get into personal worship, it's because God has ordained and raised up some ministers who are leading you into a deeper walk with God. It's one thing to get there in the public side, but you can always tell when someone has moved a little closer to the throne, because God uses anointed singers like Braden Hasty, and he uses anointed musicians like the ones we have, and all these incredible singers that we have every week. And I want to tell you guys, sometimes you go to church and all you get is a song leader, and all they're doing is say, turn the page and sing the song, and that's all you're going to get. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone that comes out prayed up and anointed, who's going after God and leading you into his worship. And if you appreciate the hard work and sacrifice of this amazing worship team, like I know you do, why don't we take a couple of minutes here and say thank you to the anointing upon their life, the goodness of God that is upon their life that we get to enjoy. You know what? Let's do better than that. Come on, these guys work hard. We never really say thank you. Come on, let's show them how much we're not taking it for granted. They lead us into God's presence week after week after week. And when you get anointed psalmists, when you get anointed singers, they will take you in. Somebody say, take me in. They will take you into a place that you cannot get in the public worship service. And you will notice this, because the people that are going in are now, they don't even know the public's around them. They get a little more weird than they already were because now they're just, you know, they're focused on God so much that sometimes they'll lay down, sometimes they'll kneel down, but their eyes are usually closed or their eyes are looking up and they're expressing themselves. And you can just tell they're not even worried about the public now. They've bypassed the public and the leaders, the ministers have led them on into a deeper place. Now, how do I get to that deeper place? Is it just listening to the singers and singing along with it? No. Remember, there's three pieces of furniture there. One represents the Bible, one represents prayer, and one represents the Holy Spirit. If you want to become a deeper worshiper, you have to get the Word of God inside of you. Something changes in your spiritual DNA because the Word of God is alive. Something changes in your spiritual DNA when you enter into this personal court with the Lord and begin to worship. When you start getting the Bible inside of you, and I don't know about you, but I love to. I have an app where when I read my Bible, I did four chapters this morning. I try to do three a day because if you do three a day, you read the whole Bible through in a year. So it's just a little simple method. So I start my day every day. This morning I did four because I just got into it and I didn't want to quit, but I was out of time, so I had to move on into the prayer and the other things I had to do this morning. But if when you hear the Word of God, I like to play it as I read it. So I have an app that reads it, and then I have then I'm also reading it at the same time with it, and I'm hearing it and I'm reading it, because for me that just like anchors it in my soul. I'm listening to it, and I like those apps that have a little music in the background, so it's kind of this spiritual moment for me, and I'm hearing this hearing the Word read to me, and I'm also underlining things and going deeper. And then I'll turn it off or put it on pause and go back and start circling things and looking up words and just let it sink in. When you are full of the Word and you have a prayer life and you are led by the Holy Spirit, your worship will go deeper every time. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter if a singer's out or not, you're still going in. It doesn't matter if your favorite musician is up here, you're still going in. If you come ready, you're gonna automatically go into the presence of God. And this is the problem with some people worshiping. And I'm just gonna be honest with you. There's some people love the music, but they don't love the disciplines. They love the music, but they haven't been in the Word all week. They haven't prayed all week, and they're not being led by the Spirit in their daily walk. And so when they come into God, all they can hear is music. All they can hear is songs. And they're entering the public worship, but they can't go into the personal worship. And God is saying, if you want to go into the middle court, the only way to stay deeper in your worship is to pray and hear the Word, or get filled with the Word of God and be led by the Holy Spirit. Those are the things inside that room that gets you into God's presence.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.